حاضری مخمر
خوشنود امام زمانہ صلوات
اللہم صلی اللہ محمد و آل محمد.
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى اهل بيته الطيبين الانجبين بهم نتولى ومن اعدائهم نتبرا الى الله. اللهم كن وليك الحجة بن حسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك ثورا وتمتعه فيها قويما.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
It's the continuation of the same wasiyya, the advice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
To his companion Abu Bakr. And if you recall your memories, it was mentioned that one night Abu Dhar, he comes to the mosque of the Prophet and he finds Rasulullah, he is all alone. And then he says, it's a good opportunity, there's no one here present, I can ask him, and it can be a one-to-one chat with him. And that is one of those glorious opportunities people get when they want to benefit from the presence of someone who is noble, who is divine. He says, I'll have a talk with him. And says, Aizni, Ya Rasulullah, give me an advice. Rasulullah says, I'll give you an advice, save it, and it's going to be beneficial for you, for this world of yours, and for this hereafter. He gives this advice, and it took so long that it was almost time for the Persian press. It's quite a lengthy hadith. So here, Rasulullah, he starts giving a description of the hell and the heaven. Says, Ya Abu Dhar, لو كان لرجل عمل سبعين نبيا لاستقل عمله من شدة ما يرى يومئذ. That is, Abu Dhar, if one person possessed the actions of 70 prophets on the day of judgment and seeing the horror of the day, he would come to know that how little his actions are. That is, one regular person, for example, you and me, our a'mal are just a few. Now, the a'mal, the actions of the prophets, they are huge. They cannot be a match to ours, they cannot be compared. Here Rasulullah says that the horror of the day of judgment is such that if 70 prophets, their a'mal equal our a'mal, even that would be little upon seeing the horror of the day of judgment. لَاسْتَقَلَّ عَمَلُهُ مِنْ شِدَّةِ مَا يَرَى يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَوْ أَنَّ دَلْوًا صُبَّ مِنْ غِسْلِينَ فِي مَطْلَعِ الشَّمْسِ لَغَلَتْ مِنْهُ جَمَاجَمُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. In this entire creation that Allah Jalla Wa'ala has created, the heaven and the hell, they are the greatest of His blessings upon mankind. And there is nothing greater than the hell and the heaven that He has created. The heaven, it's yet to be checked in. The hell, the same. And there is nothing greater than the hell and the heaven that He has created. Looking into the creation of Allah, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi
salam,
he says that you have to ponder and think into this creation of Allah. For example, he says, if you think about the ant that He has created, لَوْ فَكَّرُوا فِي عَظِيمِ الْقُدْرَةِ, the greatness of His creation, وَجَسِيمِ النِّعْمَةِ لَرَجَعُوا إِلَى الطَّرِيقِ, by thinking and pondering about the creation of Allah, you will come to the right path. That is, we have to open the windows in our mind and start thinking. And he gives an example. He says, look at the ant, how tiny it is, how small, that if it was placed in the corner of your eye, that ant also would not be able to be seen. He says that Allah, he has created this ant with his might, with his wisdom. Everything that you find in a human body, it's found in that ant. How it feeds, how that sustenance is provided, how it crawls, how it multiplies, so on and so forth. So that is the tiniest creation of Allah which can be seen by the eye of an individual. And there are creations like hell and the heaven which are the greatest. And there are even more minute creations of Allah that can hardly be seen by a microscope. There are many more which man he has never perceived as yet. Here says that وَلَوْ أَنَّ دَلْوًا سُبَّ مِنْ رِسْلِينَ, that is, dal means a bucket. Says, if a bucket of ghislin is thrown onto the east of this world, the heads of those living in the west, they would boil. Now what is this ghislin? Ghislin is the drink of those to whom the hell will be assigned. Ghislin is that dirty, stinky, bad water which is prepared by the sins of every human being, the wrong that we have done. It's like washing dirty clothes, and when you squeeze out those clothes, you get all the dirt out of the clothes. That is bad. Says ghislin, it's all that bad performance, bad actions of individuals that will be squeezed out, and that will be changed into this form of this drink, and that drink will be given to those this hell has been assigned. Here Rasulullah says that if a bucket of ghislin is thrown onto the east of this world, those living in the west, their heads would boil because of that odor, of that smell of it, heat of it. وَلَوْ زَفَرَتْ جَهَنَّمْ زَفْرَةً, and then he says, if the hell was to breathe once, like we breathe in, breathe out, we inhale, we exhale, says Jahannam also breathes in and breathes out. وَلَوْ زَفَرَتْ جَهَنَّمْ زَفْرَةً لَمْ يَبْقَ مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبْ وَلَا نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلٌ, says when the hell would breathe in just once, says none of the prophets, none of those near ones to Allah, they would remain, but all of them will fall onto the knees. لَا نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلٌ إِلَّا خَرَّ جَافِيًا عَلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ, they will fall onto their knees. يَقُولْ رَبِّ نَفْسِي نَفْسِي, they would say, they are the best of the creation of Allah, that is the prophets, those who are near. They would say, God have mercy on me first. نَفْسِي نَفْسِي. حَتَّى يَنْسَى إِبْرَاهِيمْ إِسْحَاقْ, until Prophet Ibrahim, he would forget his son Ishaq. Ishaq is the dearest one to Prophet Ibrahim, was blessed at the age when he was about 100 years, or he had passed the 100 years. So someone who was longing for a child and he was blessed with a child, to him that child is going to be the dearest. Says the horror of the day is such that Ibrahim will forget his son Ishaq. And then he would say, Yansa Ibrahim Ishaq, Yaqulu Ya Rab, Ana Khaliluka Ibrahim, Fala Tansani. That Prophet Ibrahim would say, God, I am your friend Ibrahim, don't forget me. That is, me first. The horror is such. On looking into Quran, we find ayah which say that, يَوْمَ تَرَوْهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضَعَةٍ أَمَّا أَرْضَعَةٍ, that you would see the horror of the Day of Judgment. It's such that a woman, a lady, a mother who feeds her child, or a mother who is carrying her load, that is, who is pregnant, upon seeing the horror, she will drop her load. She'll say, I am me first. That horror is such. يَقُولُ رَبْ says, يَا أَبَادَرْ لَوْ أَنَّ إِمْرَأَةً مِنْ نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ ابتلعت من سماء الدنيا في ليلة ظلماء. Now that is regarding the heaven. So Rasulullah, he gives a gloomy picture of what the heaven is going to be like. For example, Quran says, فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَا هُنَا حَمِيمٌ وَلَا تَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينٌ. That is, to those this hell is going to be assigned, their food is going to be, their drink is going to be ghisleen, and the food also that's going to be given to them, it's a thorny food which even no one can ever taste it. Now when there is a hadith quoting from Bahar al-Anwar, here are six Imam Sadiq alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He says that Bayna Rasulullah Dhaata al-Yawmin Qaidan Ith Atahu Jabra'een Wa Huwa Ka'eebun Hazeen. Says once Rasulullah to his presence Jabra'een, he comes. And Jibreel was upset. مُتَغَيِّرٌ لَهُ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَا جِبْرَئِيلُ مَا لِي أَرَاكَ كَعِيبًا حَزِينًا. That Jibreel, why are you so much upset? Why are you so much disturbed? And then in reply, Jibreel says, how can I not be disturbed and distressed? That إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَمَرَ. That is, today Allah, he has laid the bellows of Jahannam. That is, he has set the fire ablaze today. And then Rasulullah inquires, and what are the manafiq of Jahannam, the bellows of the heaven, the hell? He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَمَرَ بِالنَّارِ. That Allah, he instructed the fire to burn for 1,000 years until this fire, it turned red. And then he says, he instructed the fire to burn until it turned white. Once again, he instructs the fire to burn until it turns black. And then he says, the fire of the hell, it's the black burning fire. If just a blaze of it, that is, if just a half a meter of it is put onto this earth will melt due to the heat of that fire. And then says, that is the fire. قَالَ بَكَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَبَكَى جِبْرَئِيلُ. Upon this, both of them they cried, Jibreel and the Prophet, upon seeing what the horror and wrath of the hell is going to be. And then says, قَالَ إِنَّ رَبَّكُمَا يَقْرَأُكُمَ السَّلَامُ وَيَقُولْ إِنِّي آمَنْتُكُمَا مِنْ أَنْ أَذْنَبَا ذَنْبًا وَعَذِّبُكُمَا عَلَيْهِ. Then Allah sends a message to the Prophet and to Jibreel that, yeah, that I will protect you from that fire, that I will protect you from committing a sin as a result of which you will be punished in that hellfire. So a fire that is just a gloomy picture, a glimpse of it which Rasulullah mentions and describes over here of what the hell is going to be like. Then he continues describing the heaven, says, Ya Aba Dhar, لَوْ أَنَّ إِمْرَأَةً مِنْ نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ اتَّلَعَتْ مِنْ سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فِي لَيْلَةٍ ظَلْمًا. If one of the women of the heaven, now women of the heaven, it's not the hoors who are the different creation, it's the sisters here. Says that when they will be checked in into the heaven, and he says, now if one of these women who will be in the heaven is presented onto the skies of this earth, by their presence the entire planet would be luminant. It would glow much more than the radiant moon, the moon when it is a full moon. Much more than that is going to glow by the presence of these women, one woman. And then says, لَأَضَاعَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَفْضَلُ مِمَّنْ يُضِيْئَهَا الْقَمَرُ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ وَلَوَجَدَ الْرِيحَ نَشْرِحَا جَمِيعَ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. And by her presence, the entire planet would feel the fragrance of her presence. وَلَوْ أَنَّ ثَوْبًا مِنْ ثِيَابِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ لَشِرَ الْيَوْمِ. And if the clothing they have in the heaven, it was shown onto the skies of this earth just once, وَسَائِقَ مَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهُ وَمَا حَمَلَتْهُ أَبْصَارُهُمْ. That is, all those who look at that one dress, all those who possess sight, they would faint due to the beauty of that clothing which Allah has prepared for those. Now when it comes to the hell and the heaven, Quran has many ayats. When you find that Allah talks about the hell, he immediately talks about the heaven. Says بَشَّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. That give good news to the believers that Allah, he has created the heaven for them. That is, those who have done good, that is, gardens under which the rivers would flow, so on and so forth. All of these blessings are for them. Now, on one occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam,
he ascends to the heavens, and Jibreel, he shows him what is happening in the heaven. Comes to a point and says that I saw some angels building a palace, a house. Now this house that is being built over there, it's blocks of gold being laid on blocks of silver. And some riwayat, they say that this building is so neatly built that even the grooves that you find when two blocks are laid beside each other, even that is not evident. It's so neatly prepared. These angels, they lay the blocks and they sit. They stop working. Rasulullah says that why are they and what are they making and why don't they make it quickly? There he is addressed that this is the house of such and such a mu'min who is living today. And whenever he says Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu Akbar once, one brick is laid over there. And when he stops, they also stop working. The reason why they don't make it, build it quickly, it's because the building material is not being sent to them quickly. So that building material of our homes in the heaven, it has to be sent from here. And it's by all these attachments we have, all this acquaintance we have, the recitals we have, the more it is said and uttered and recited, the quicker that home over there will be built. This is regarding the heaven which Rasulullah talks about, and inshallah we can continue tomorrow. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It was mentioned a few days ago that we have to have a bond with Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And for that it was mentioned that we recite Dua al-Ahd every morning, but every morning we have an allegiance which we renew with him. In addition to that, there are other ziyarat, other small du'as that we have. Now all these are little tips and attachments. The more we have, the more we will benefit. Now we've got Dua al-Ahd and the istighatha, which is seeking help from Imam al-Asr. Present over here, you can have them and add it onto your daily program and recite it every day. Very beneficial, and whenever you get stuck, just have this communication with the Imam and you will find an outlet quickly. It's one of those beautiful tawassulat that we have, which has been reported from Ma'asun himself. In this Dua al-Ahd which we recite, the shorter version of it, now this one present over here is the shorter version, so that we start with the shorter one. And when we get used to it, you can add on to the other version, which is the greater. We've got a phrase which says, Allahumma inni ujaddidu lahu fi hadha al-yawm wa fi kulli yawmin ahdan wa aqdan wa bay'atan. It's three things being mentioned over here. That is, I renew today, that is this day of mine, and on every day, an ahd, which is a covenant, and then aqd, which means a contract, and then we say bay'atan, which is an allegiance with the Imam. Now why do we say allegiance? When we say allegiance means that I have an allegiance with him and then I renew it every day. But when I start reciting it, for example, if it is my first day to start reciting this dua, so where is that allegiance? So where was that bay'at performed? I haven't done any bay'at with him as yet. A Shia is not a Shia just like that. He has passed his test somewhere else. In Quran, we've got this ayah which says, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, that is, am I not your Lord? That is عَلَمِ أَلَسْتُ, which is also known as عَلَمِ الذَّرْ. There Allah had that proposal, and the first one to accept that wilayat of Allah was Rasulullah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
For that reason, he was given the highest rank in this world as the Prophet of Islam, as rahmatun lil alamin. Likewise, every other person, some of them were fast, were quick, some were slow. And the position, the ranks which mu'mineen possess in this dunya, it turns back to the test which they had given over there. So a Shia is a Shia because he has passed that test there. Now when we say that we renew this allegiance, it's that allegiance which we had signed over there. That is the renewal over here when we recite that dua. That is, Allahumma inni ujaddidu lahu, I renew that allegiance with him, fi hadha al-yawm, on this day of mine, and on every day of mine. How is that? Ahdan wa aqdan wa bay'atan, that is a covenant, a contract and an agreement that I am signing with the Imam. So that is how this whole thing works. So to remind ourselves, read this dua as much as you can, at least once a day, and that is beautiful. One of the other things is that, because the days are related to Abu Abdullah and Hussein alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When he was born, Jabir, this sincere companion of the Prophet who has seen six Imams, he says, like every well-wisher, me too, I went to the house of Ali and Zahra alayhi salam to congratulate them upon the birth of Abu Abdullah al Hussein. He says that I come there to say Mubarak to them. I see Hazrat Zahra is present, the baby is with her, and I see besides her is a tablet. And this tablet is glowing like noor, as if it's emeralds and rubies and something engraved in it. I asked her, what is that? She says, this is the birth certificate, or this which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has issued and has given it to the Prophet. Through Jibreel it has come to be delivered to me. And in that birth certificate of Abu Abdullah al Hussein is not the term birth certificate I'm using for us to understand in an easier way. It's known as Hadith al-Lawha Fatima in the books that we have. Says that here he has described who Hussein is and what his role is going to be, what the role of Imams, one after the other, all of them will be. Jabir says, allow me to have a look at it. She says, yes. So he takes that certificate and reads it, saves it. After this, it's the time of the fifth Imam. He once says to Jabir, Jabir, you've recorded that certificate? He says, yes, Ibn Rasulullah. He says, can I have a look at it? Or read it for me. I want to see what you have written. It's right, or needs any corrections or editing to it. Jabir reads that. Imam says, exactly word to word, what had happened then, you have noted it down. The Imam also certified it. Now, this hadith, it starts as such, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Hada kitabun min Allah al-Aziz al-Hakim, a note from Allah, the Glorious, the Mighty, لِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيِّهِ وَنُورِهِ وَسَفِيرِهِ, that is, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
His light, his ambassador, wa dalilih, nazala bihi ar-ruh al-ameen. And this note was brought forth by ar-ruh al-ameen. There talks about the Prophet, glorifies him, and then says this term of Risalat will come to an end. After him, Amir al-Mu'mineen will be the Imam. After him, It is going to be Imam al-Mujtaba and continues and describes and lists each one of the Imam with their titles and some of the phrases relating to them. Then says that جَعَلْتُ حُسَيْنًا خَازِنَ وَحْيِي, that I have made Hussein the treasurer of my wahi, of my revelation. وَأَكْرَمْتُهُ بِالشَّهَادَ, and I glorified Hussein with this martyrdom. وَخَتَمْتَ لَهُ بِالسَّعَادَ, and his end also I ended with a good ending, with prosperity. فَهُوَ أَفْضَلُ مِمَّنْ اسْتُشْهِدْ, he is the best of all the martyrs. وَأَرْفَعُ الشُّهَدَاءَ دَرَجَةً, the most exalted among the shuhada in rank. جَعَلْتُ كَلِمَتِيَ التَّامَّ مَعَهُ وَحُجَّتِيَ الْبَالِغَةُ عِنْدَهُ, that I have made my word the perfect with him, that is with Hussein. وَحُجَّتِيَ الْبَالِغَةُ عِنْدَهُ وَبِعِذْرَتِهِ أُثِيبُ وَعَاقِبُ, and then he continues talking about the progeny, one after the other, the Imams are being mentioned. Comes to the sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu
wasalam.
Now, our sixth Imam, he is among the luckiest of the Imam who has the most number of students. 4,000 have been listed. So, the Shias that we have, and we say Ja'fari, that is the followers of Imam Sadiq, that is because of that. Because he had the most number of students, and most tabligh and propagation was done by him. The most luckiest in that aspect. Here Allah says, حَقُّ الْقَوْلِ مِنِّي لَأَكْرِمَنَّ مَثْوَى جَعْفَرَ, that is, it is upon me that I will propagate him, I will exalt him, honor him. How? لَأَسُرَّنَّهُ فِي أَشْيَائِهِ وَأَنصَارِهِ وَأَوْلِيَائِهِ, that I will please Ja'far, that is the sixth Imam, through his associates, through his companions, through his friends. After that, he talks about the other A'imma and comes to the 12th Imam. Says, وَأُكَمِّلُ ذَلِكَ بِإِبْنِهِ مِيمْ حَا مِيمْ دَالْ, and this chain of guidance will complete with the 12th Imam and mentions his name as Mim Ha Mim Dal, that is M-O-H-A-M-M-A-D. Doesn't mention the name of the Imam completely. This is the etiquette, that the name of the 12th Imam, we are not permitted to read it, write it. Even Allah observes that etiquette, that when he wants to mention the name, he breaks it down, he hyphenates it. So if you want to write the name of the Imam, the 12th Imam, his name is like the name of the Prophet. So if you want to write his full name, first of all, you shouldn't be writing. And if you, for whatever reason, want to write it, break it down. Don't write it in one form. Hyphenate it or make some of the letters capital, some small, so that we act in accordance to the adab which Allah has taught us. And then he says, this 12th Imam, alayhi kamalu Musa, possesses the perfection of Musa, Baha'u Isa, the greatness, the honor, and of Isa, Wasabru Ayyub, he possesses the patience of Ayyub, Fayudallu Awliya'i fi zamani, and then says, complete, talks a little bit more, when it comes to the ashab, the friends, the companions of the 12th Imam, bring it to your mind, when he said about the 6th Imam, he says, I will please him through his friends, through his associates, through his companions. But when he talks about the 12th Imam, his friends, his companions, and his ansar, says, أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءِ حَقًّا, that is, the friends of the 12th Imam are my friends, are the friends of God. بِهِمْ أَدْفَعُ كُلَّ فِتْنَةٍ, that is, through these friends of the 12th Imam, I will put away every bala, every affliction. There's nothing to worry. He says, now talks about, continues in this hadith. So it's a beautiful narration that we have, which gives us a lot of hope. Says, أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءِ حَقًّا. Ayatullah al-Uzma Wahid Khurasani, who is among the great Maraji al-Taqlid, living today in Qom, he quotes just from two chains, or from one chain of narrators. And he says that during the World War II, when the Russians had attacked Iran, at that time, he says that someone was shot, and he comes straight to the clinic to get that bullet removed. And it was a time which was tensed upon the Shias. Many were being killed, large number, mass massacre, shortage of food and drink because of the Russians from one side. So it was a chaos, a very tough time for the Mu'mineen there. He says that this person was shot, comes straight to the doctor to have the bullet removed. He says, I haven't got anesthetic here. You can come tomorrow to the hospital, I'll remove it there, otherwise it's going to be very painful. This person, he says that anesthetic is not required. You can remove the bullet and I will not feel any pain. He says, it's your wish, otherwise it's very painful. He says, don't worry. The doctor says, get onto the bed. He lies down, says, Bismillah in Noor, and that ruh of his is out. In our books of Irfan and in teachings, we do have this khala. Khala means, by our own wish, a person can remove his soul whenever he wishes, whenever he wants. Sometimes it's known as maut ikhtiyari. And marhum Imam Khomeini, quoting from his son Shaheed Mustafa, he used to say then in 1970s that Ayatollah al-Uzma Bahjat, at that time he possessed this kamal, this, that is 40 years before that. So that khal, he says Bismillah in Noor and his soul is out. The doctor operates, he puts the plaster and he says, that person says Bismillah in Noor, he's back again. Now the doctor is amazed upon seeing this person becomes his friend, and after a while he finds out that this person is very, he's a gem that he has found. And then finds out that he also communicates or frequents with the Imam of time. The doctor says, you see what is happening with us, the chaos that we are in. Why doesn't Aqa, meaning the Imam, do something? Why doesn't he stop these Russians? And the Russians were to attack in the next day, and that very 6 o'clock at that day. And he says, Russians are nothing. They will go back, they must go back. That is the only word which he said. And says that by 6 p.m. of that very day, a communique comes asking them, all of them, to retreat. Here Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءِ حَقًّا, that they are my friends, they are my awliya, they are my associates. If you recall your memories again, it was mentioned that a point comes when a person, he becomes a reflection of Allah. That is, this kun fa yakun which he possesses is transferred to this individual because of that obedience which he has.
Baba ji bulan
salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Today, that is, Imam has not returned, and we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to hasten his return and count us all among his true servants, supporters who serve him in whatever way, in whatever manner, in whichever way he desires, he wishes, inshaAllah.
Labbaik ya Mahdi!
Labbaik ya Mahdi! Labbaik ya Mahdi! Labbaik ya Mahdi!
In today, that Imam has not returned, we talk about the 313 who will be among the associates of the Imam when he returns. What about today? Muhaddis Nuri, he says that even today Imam has an assembly. There are people who are serving him. And this assembly is in 4 batches. One is known as Awtad, the second one is Abdal, the third one is Nuqaba, and the fourth is Rijalul Ghayb. That is, there is an assembly which is working for the Imam. The first one, the top notch, are the Awtad, 4 of them in number. 2 of them are prophets, one is Prophet Khizr, and the other is Prophet Ilyas, and there are 2 other regular mu'mineen with him. The second batch, 7 in them, and you've got 47. The third batch, it's called the Nuqaba, 40. And the fourth batch, it's called the Rijal al-Ghayb, 360 members. Whenever there is a vacuum in this assembly, there is a promotion which automatically takes place. In that first batch, which is four, two of them are prophets who have that extraordinary life, like Prophet Khizr and Ilyas. The other two members are just regular mu'mineen who have a designed expiration date for their life, which comes to an end. And when they die, someone from the lower group ascends and is promoted to the higher group. The same thing, now when there is a vacuum in the lowest group, which is Rijalul Ghaib, then Imam al-Asr, he comes and picks someone who is the best candidate for this assembly of his to work for him. So this is how people, they work for the Imam. And this is what we find in du'as. In the du'as that we have for the month of Rajab, we say that Allahumma salli ala al-awsiyahi wa su'ada wa shuhada wa a'immat al-huda. And then say Allahumma salli ala al-abdali wa al-awtar. That Allah sends salutations upon abdal and awtar. Awtar are the four. Abdal are the seven who are working for the Imam even today. When we talk about Imam and having so much of communication and acquaintance with him, hadith says that al-Imam anisur rafiq, that Imam is the best friend who you can bond with, the best acquaintance who you can have with. Now, how do we get access to the Imam? Da'a, and that is the wish, the desire that each one of us has, that is, we want to be his friend. We want to benefit from, we do benefit from him even today, but we want to have that benefit without any firewalls, easy access. For that, there are two steps. When it comes to attracting the love of Ma'asumeen, especially the love of the 12th Imam, there are two special steps. One is cry for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. The second step is cry for his grandmother Zahra. It was mentioned yesterday that we have to teach ourselves to cry. We have to train ourselves to cry, especially the youth, the youngsters. That is, it was mentioned yesterday, I'll repeat it once more, that if it is a know-how which you fancy, which you are fond of, listen to it repeatedly, over and over again. Try to understand what exactly it is saying, and then your heart will break. So those who are familiar with these nohas, mercias, whichever speaker you fancy, you like, listen to the masail he recites, but try and cry for Hussein. That is the tip which Rasulullah gives. That is two special steps, two easy steps to access to the Imam. And we come to this point later today. So, says that, cry for Abu Abdullah, and you will get access to Imam al-Asr. Mahabbat that we have, love that we have to Imam, it is of two types. One of them is by suluk, the other is by jazba. Suluk means a slow process, and that is for everyone. Jazba means it is like a lightning, a person, he gets to his destination instantly. To understand this suluk and jazba, suluk means a person, he tries. Jazba means a person, he is taken to the destination. Prophet Musa, when he wants to come to his destination, when he wants to be elevated, Quran says, لَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِقَاتِنَا. That is when Musa came to the destination. When it comes to Rasulullah, says, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. That Allah took him. That is that fast track. But for us, it's that slow track that we have to try and get to the destination. And ulama, they say that to understand this jazba, it means that fast track in a dark night, in a thorny, bushy forest, when you find no way out, if there is a light which flashes in front of you, you can see your destination quickly. And then you can get to it. That is jazba. And this happens to people, and we have to benefit from those opportunities when they knock on to our doors. One of those opportunities is this Majlis of Hussein. There's a book called Rasul-e-Turk. It's in Farsi, you have it online. It's regarding a person who was bad, who had a bitter past. But the only duty he had was whenever a Majlis was held for Abu Abdullah and Hussein, he participates in it. Wherever. In one of these majalis, which was the 9th of Muharram, when he wants to come, the host, he says that, we don't want mess here, please go, leave. He says, okay, Because it was the Majlis of Hussein, he says, I won't make mess, I'll go home. Comes home and is disturbed that why was I kicked out of that Majlis of Aba Abdullah. That very night, the host, he sees that it is the day of Ashura. The camps of Aba Abdullah, they have set up. He says, everyone is preparing for the war for the next day. And he says, I saw Aba Abdullah's camp also is there. And I see a dog which is on guard, guarding the tents of Aba Abdullah, especially the tent of Aba Abdullah. He wouldn't let anyone to come closer to it. He says, I see from a distance that this person resembles Rasul, the person who I said not to come tomorrow. And when I come closer and closer, I see exactly it is him. He is on guard, protecting that camp and tent of Hussein. He says, what have I done? Come straight to his house early morning, it isn't Fajr. Knock, knock on his door. He says, what is it? Why have you come at this point, time of day? He says, tonight in Majlis, I want you to come. Here I won't. Tell me what has happened. He doesn't want to reveal what has happened, but upon his insistence says, this is what I saw. He says, Hussein has accepted me to be his watchdog. What more do I want? What more honor do I want? That was that turning point which comes to his life, and that bad person ends up among the best of people and is reminded and remembered among the best. And among the beauties of this person is that because he had a bitter past, he comes to mosque to say his prayers, says he offers so many prayers in different spots of that mosque. For what reason? Says, so that each spot of this mosque bears witness for me in the hereafter that I offered my prayers. And that is mustahab, that when you go to a mosque, and inshallah you too will have a mosque here, that is, don't say stand and say your prayers always in one location at one point. In a mosque, change places. Because every spot you bow down in such that you stand and worship, that will be a testimony for you, that will bear a witness for you in the hereafter. So, Allah, when He wants to guide, He's got these two processes. When you want to get that love of Ma'asumeen, especially the love of Imam al-Asr, these two paths, that is either that fast track, which is Jazba, or that slow track, which is Suluk, these two paths are evident for us. Imam بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ, that is, by the presence of the Imam, sustenance of the entire creation of Allah is provided, every creation. That distribution center today, it is Imam. One of the teachings that we have, we are said that you be awake in the morning, that is the time you will benefit a lot. Why is that? Because وَلِيُّ اللَّهِ الْعَظَمْ, the Imam of time, he is awake at that time and he is worshipping and whispering with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And those who are awake at that time, they benefit a lot. Because Imam is in his full force of service providing at that time. It doesn't mean that the rest of the day he is not. No. It's all of the time, all of the day, any time, because we have other teachings which say that لَيْسَ عِنَّ رَبِّكَ سَبَاحٌ وَمَسَىٰ, that is, for him doesn't matter whether it's day or night. But that time of Fajr, and a little bit before Fajr, that is the best time when a person can benefit a lot from the presence of Imam. أَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ فَرَجَهُ الشَّرِيْءِ
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
There are many tips of what should we do to become closer to Imam. What do we do? Muhaddis Nuri, and then there are other books, they say, they mention 80 tips how we can come closer to the Imam, how we can bond with the Imam, how this vacuum which is between us and him is reduced, distance between us and him is reduced. By reciting salawat for him, by praying for him, by performing a hajj for him, by performing a umrah for him. The easiest is by giving a little bit of sadaqah on behalf of the Imam for the well-being, for his safety, for his security, for him to be safe.
So these are little attachments that we can have, and when we have these attachments, it becomes easier for us to have free access with the Imam. So we have to start with these little tips.
For the safety of Imam Zamana, please recite the loud salwat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Muhaddis Nuri, he mentions 180 titles for the Imam. One of the titles which he possesses is Ghawthul Ummah. Ghawth means help. Ummah means nation. So Imam is the help for the nation. He is the helper of the nation. No matter who, no matter what, no matter what they want, door is Imam, outlet is Imam, sabab is Imam, bab is Imam. Now to understand this in simple words, during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi
Talib,
Amir al-Mu'mineen also was Ghawthul Ummah. Now Amir al-Mu'mineen, when this hukuma, this rule was given to him, that Ali is not that young Ali of the time of Prophet, he's an old man now. Being the first person, and he's got his office in Kufa, and those who've been to Iraq, they know the temperatures over there, how hot and extremes they are. In summer, and most of the time, we find that Ali, his office may be in the governor house or whatever that place was called, Darul Khilafah. So normally when you want to get to the office, you have to pass through security. And then you come to the office itself. What Ali does in those hot days, he leaves his office and comes and sits by the door of his office, outside near security. Why? He says, people who I need, who want help, they can get help quicker if I'm there. They don't need to pass all that security and come to my office in there. That is Ali. Ghawthul Ummah. Teaching that we have over here is that we have to be a reflection of Ali, a reflection of the Imam. If a fellow mu'min in particular, if he's in need of any help, help him. Especially if he's a mu'min. Even more if he's a sayyid. So all these are categories and bands that we have, that we have to have this bond with mu'mineen so that we can have an easier bond with the Imam. We have no pain. The reason for that, we don't see the doctor. The doctor is the Imam. Sayyid Karim Kaffash is one of those personalities who's visited and who frequents with the Imam. He says that once Abdul Nabi Nuri and Shaykh Murtaza Zahir, who are believed to be the best of people who have passed this 20-30 years ago, they have excessive love towards the Imam. On one occasion, Imam, he asks him that, how much do you love me? He says that, if I don't see you, I would die. Imam says, that is the reason why you have this frequent access with me. That is, we have to have that pain that we want the Imam, we need him. The more the pain, the more access we have towards the Imam. And he says that, once he comes to the shrine of Abdul Azim, south of Tehran. He says, Imam comes there. Says Abdul Karim, shall we go to pay a visit to our grandfather? Now Imam is requesting his servant, his friend, his associate to be with him. He says, yes. They too, 1,000 kilometers from there, in just a few steps, they reach Mashhad. And he says that I did not even see the cities, the roads, whatever, amidst our way. In just a few seconds we were there. We performed the ziyarat there, and the Imam then says, shall we go to the grave of Marhum Lahiji? That too is another friend of Imam. He's buried in Tehran. They come all the way, 1,000 kilometers in just a few seconds. And then when they come to this grave of this noble friend of the Imam, he from Barzakh is ready to welcome the Imam of time. Welcomes the Imam, they visit him, and then this marhum who has passed away, he says to Sayyid Kareem that this alim, that is Shaykh Murtaza Jafar Ali Mujtahidi, he hasn't visited my grave since the day I have died. Imam says the reason why he hasn't come is because he is ill. And I am representing him to pay a visit on your grave on his behalf.
Bawajib ulan salawat.
So we have an Imam who is so beautiful, so kind, so friendly, so compassionate. Now in one of these meetings, when Marhum Lahiji was inquired that how come you got this access to Imam so much, how come you came so close to him, he says, I had a tawassul. I asked Rasulullah to help me so that I have an access to the Imam. He says, one day I had a dream, and that night Rasulullah says, you want to have access to my Hussein? Cry on Hussein twice a day. Once in the morning, once at night. And he says, this prescription which Rasulullah gave me, I cried on him twice a day for 1 year. And after that, I got that free access. Now this is something which we find in Ziyarat Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa, that says that, فَلَئِنْ أَخَّرَتْنِ الدُّهُورِ وَعَاقَنِي عَنْ نَصْرِكَ الْمَقْدُورِ وَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِمَنْ نَصَرَكَ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكَ مُحَارِبًا وَلِمَنْ نَسَبَ لَكَ الْعَدَاوَةَ مُنَاصِبًا فَلَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً. It is now that Imam Nasr says, now that I cannot be with you, I cannot serve you, and that is because of this passage of time that I came after you, I couldn't serve you, but I'll cry for you twice a day. Rasulullah gives him that prescription that you cry for my son Hussein twice a day, you will get access to the Imam of time. So, that is how people get connected to the Imam. When you look into the teachings that we have, the bond which is present between Abadillah and the Imam of time, it's amazing. The instructions, the indications that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given to the Imam of time, it says that those who have visited the Imam, they see there's a shirt hanging above the head of the Imam where he sits. And that is the blood-stained shirt of Hussein. And the indication given to him is that when that blood-stained shirt of Hussein of mine, the blood is fresh, that is the day when you have to start your mission, when you have to move. Now that Imam al-Asr has to arrive, they say that voice of his is the voice of Hussein. Slogans which he has are the slogans of Hussein. Says, Ada ya ahl al-alam, ana al-imam al-qa'im. That is, O inhabitants of the universe, I am that Imam who is Al-Qa'im. And then says, Ala ya ahl al-alam, ana samsam al-muntaqim. O inhabitants of the universe, I am that avenging sword. Says, Ala ya ahl al-alam, inna jaddi al-Husayn qataluhu atshanam. That is, O inhabitants of the universe, indeed my grandfather Hussein was killed thirsty. Then says, Ala ya ahl al-alam, inna jaddi al-Husayn tarakuhu uryana. My grandfather Hussein was abandoned and covered. Inna jaddi al-Husayn sahakuhu udwana. That is, my grandfather Hussein was killed, oppressed. So slogans that we have for Imam al-Asr are the slogans of Hussein. And in this dua alayhi, which inshaAllah will be added on to our program, we read that Allahumma arinib talat al-rashidah. That God make it as such that we see the Imam. Wal-ghurrat al-hamidah. Wakhal nadiri. Binadrat minni ilayh. So that is a wish which mu'mineen have. They want to see the Imam. They want to have an access with the Imam. So this seeing or having an access on a look at the Imam, it's of various kinds, various levels, depending on an individual. First of them, it's the dream It is a person sees the Imam in a dream, and when it sees a ma'soom riwayat, they say that man ra'ani faqad ra'ani fa inna shaytan la yatamathalu bi. That is, whosoever has seen me, he has seen me. That is ma'soom when he is seen in a dream by an individual. It is that ma'soom himself, and shaytan, he cannot come in the form of a ma'soom. Sometimes we see the Imam by mukashafa. Mukashafa means a vision. Dream means a person when he is asleep, he sees. Mukashafa means a person, he's awake. But while he's awake, he sees. That is mukashafa, that is vision. And many a times you find that in mukashafa, when a person sees an individual, what he sees is what he is seeing. It is exactly what it is. Now, how to understand that in this busy days, the day that we have, with everything, all this disturbance having around us, if we remove that disturbance, we find that we are seeing things which are beyond this world. Now, because of all this interaction, all that disturbance that we have surrounding us, that does not allow us to see the unseen. When we stand for prayer and we don't get access to the unseen, it's because of all this disturbance that we have. That disturbance has to be put aside if we want to perform a better service. And one of the most distracting items that we have today is these cell phones, especially at the time of worship that we have. It's ringing and it's showing, it's on silent, it's on all these different attractions that it has, that is distraction from the service of Allah. So when we stand for worship, just shut down everything. Laptops, phones, mobiles, whatever it is, and then stand for worship. So that distraction is reduced to the least. In mukashafa, it's the same. That is, we see something which is from the unseen, and how we see it, the distractions are removed. That is, things that are around us, they shut down. The senses, they don't see, they don't hear. And the heart, the eye of the heart, it starts seeing. The ear of the soul, it starts hearing. That is what happens. And sometimes we find that in this mukashafa, in these visions, that sometimes I see a vision myself, that is one to one. It may so happen that I'm seeing something, but it is a third party who has access to this vision of mine. That too is possible. One of the teachings that we have is that when you come to the presence of great man, say Ya Sattar. Ya Sattar is the name of Allah, that Allah hide, that is, hide whatever is in me, so that he doesn't see, because they have access. And we have personalities that when they used to enter a majlis, they say Ya Sattar, so that the wrong in others is hidden, so that they don't see. That is a level up. So here, we say, for example, in 1987, Ayatollah Huzma Gulbaygani, he had come to London for his duodenal cancer treatment. So the doctors in Qom, they said that this is what he has and has to be treated, and the treatment is, it has to be removed, the tumor has to be removed. He comes to Tehran, the same opinion is given, and then to get a better opinion or the third opinion, they come to London to the Cromwell Hospital. And now, it is the day when he has to get operated the next day. And it was such that this old man, he couldn't eat anything because of the severe pains that he had. So someone who has to fast, who has to get operated, needs to fast the day before. And in the morning, it was scheduled for him to be operated. He says that the team that was accompanying him to London, he calls the doctor in the morning and he says that an operation is not required. Inform them to cancel everything, and I'm very hungry and I need something to eat, some breakfast. The doctor who was accompanying him, he found out what is the reason. He says, what is it? Only one phrase that Ayatollah gives. He says, Agha Inayat Farmudan. That is, Imam has had grace. And for that, I'm all right, an operation is not needed. Now this happens here in London. They come back without getting operated. Unlike every well-wisher, everyone goes to visit him. One of the great ulama, whose name we just mentioned, that Marhum Jafar Abai Mujtahidi, for him, the ulama of Qum, they say that in Ma'sumeen, they appoint him to carry out the tasks. That is, the jobs he does are the jobs which are given by Ma'sumeen for him to carry out. He calls me, that is, that Marhum, he calls this doctor that I want to see you now. He comes to him. He says, tell me what happened in London. On that day, like every well-wisher, I was informed that Mu'mineen should stand in worship and prayers for the shifa of this Ayatullah. Me too, I was in worship and I was praying for him. All of a sudden, I see a vision open before me. That is, I see the Cromwell Hospital from Qom. That is 5,500 miles away. And I see this old man stand with utmost respect in the presence of Imam al-Asr, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu. And then he says that I saw him with all that respect. And he says, Aqa in ayati bi farmait. That is, have grace. And he says, you are, by the grace of Allah, by his command, shifa has been granted to you. He says, this is what I saw. Is this what happened over there? He says, he did not tell me anything. The only phrase he used is this phrase which you uttered, nothing more. So, a vision was seen by him, but there is a third person who has access to his vision. Now, all these are pure people. The more the purity of an individual, he gets access to the unseen by way of dream, by way of mukashafa, etc. Now, how does all this work? The soul that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to us, for example, if I poke a needle to myself, I know that there's a needle which is hurting me. So no matter which part of my body that needle is poked, the soul, it finds out there is something wrong, there is something hurting. If I don't feel that pain, it means the soul doesn't exist in it. So, all the cells of this human body, they are intact. And that one soul, which is that juz'i, that partial soul, it is ruling over this human body. So this entire creation that Allah has created, it has a soul which is wrapping it. And that is the soul of Baqiyatullah. That is that Waliyullah al-Azam. That is that perfect man, which is Imam al-Asr. Ajjalallahu ta'ala. So, when we say that we are in pain, they are in pain, that is what it is. Because that soul of his which is wrapping us, he feels the pain. That when it is said that when we fell down, they say out, it's exactly the same thing. Because that soul is that same soul. Our soul is juz'i, his is kulli. Ours is imperfect, his is perfect. His is, بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ, which we read in Dua Adida, that is, by the presence of the Imam, sustenance of the entire creation is provided. It is because of this. Or when we say that we have a hajat, many a times people, they write, what would you say?
Ariza.
So that is good. That is a way of having a communication with the Imam. But someone who has arrived to that great rank, they don't need arizas. It's in their heart, and the next moment it's in the inbox of the Imam. Or instantly it's there. That is how it works. It says, خُشَا دَرْدِي كِدَرْمَانَشْ تُبَاشِ خُشَا رَاهِ كِبَايَانَشْ تُبَاشِ خُشَا چَشْمِي كِرُقْصَارِ تُبِينَدْ خُشَا مُلْكِي كِسُلْطَانَشْ تُبَاشِ خوشا آن دل که دلدارش تو باشی خوشا آن دل که دلدارش تو گردی خوشا جانی که جانانش تو باشی. It is lucky that pain whose cure is you. Lucky that path whose end is you. Lucky that eye which sees your face. Lucky that kingdom whose king is you. Lucky that heart whose lover is you. Lucky that soul whose life is you. So this is mukashifa. That is, a person sees the Imam while he's awake. So first it's dream, second it's mukashifa, third again a next level up, having access to third parties, mukashifa, and the fourth one, which we have, you can, those of you who have Wafati Hujanan in Farsi, maybe in the Urdu translation of it, you'll find this incident. It's known as the incident of Marhum Haj Ali Baghdadi, who visits the Imam. Now the fourth grade is that a person, he meets the Imam in the state of Hayawan. Hayawan means that he meets the Imam, but his mind does not relate correctly. Or in easier words, he is online, but with an offline status. So, he is in the presence of the Imam, he is communicating with him, he is getting answers, but his mind is not relating. He's a little bit sleepy, drowsy. So that is called the state of Hayawan. Now this Haj Ali Baghdadi, one of the noblemen at that time, he says that I have 82 mounds of khums which I needed to deliver to the mujtahid of mine. And I gave, and I went to Qazimain, 20, part of it was to be delivered there. And when I come to Qazimain, and the mujtahid, he says, stay here, it's Thursday. And Thursday we have to go for the ziyarat of Qazimain. We can go together. He says, I can't. I have to go back. I have to pay my employees who are working for me. And I pay them every Thursday. And today is the day. He says that I'll leave. He comes and amidst his way, he had crossed one third of the way. And he meets a young man coming from Baghdad towards Qazimain. And he's going from Qazimain towards Baghdad. He addresses me with my name, a young, beautiful lad, very nurani, enlightened. And then says, where are you heading to? He says, I have to go to Baghdad. He says, Thursday, we have to go for the ziyarat of my grandfather. He says, I can't, I have to go there. He says, you can. That was the Imam who he had met. He says that I come with him, and amidst that little chat that we had, Imam says to him, come on, let's go there. Don't you want to get a testimony for yourself? Now this testimony, this shahadat was that mu'mineen in those days and even today, what they do is that they have a little piece of cloth and they get the shahadat of many of the mu'mineen, and that shahadat is placed in their kafan, in their shroud, and buried in the grave. So that Allah sees that they've got so many mu'mineen who are witness that he is a good person. That Allahumma inna la na'lamu minhu illa khayra. That we don't know anything but that he is good. Then that is testified and certified by 40 mu'mineen that Allah, he is ashamed to punish that person. So this was a sunnah, a habit that even when we were studying in Qom, one of the prayers that was held was the prayer of Ayatullah Marashi Nadavi. That was a supersonic prayer. Maghrib Isha in 10 minutes. We had a prayer that was offered by Marhum Ayatullah Bizma Araki that was a real slow motion. 40 minutes, sometimes 50 minutes for Zuhr and Asr. It was a small room, half of this 40-50 people who used to join him. And there, every day after the Zuhr prayers, this little piece of cloth used to float. And that is from all different mu'mineen. They used to give it to him to sign it. And that was one of the sunnahs that was happening. So he, that is Imam, says, did you not want to get a signature from whom, from that mujtahid? He says, yes, I did want to, but how come he knows it? I didn't tell that to anyone, it was in my mind. He says, yes, I'll do a signature for you that you are among the mawaliyin, among the lovers of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and you can get the second one from that mujtahid of yours. Imam says that. The two of them, they come for the ziyarat. Now this is an illiterate person, he doesn't know to read or write. He says, okay, come on, you recite Izni Dukhul. Izni Dukhul is that permission to enter the shrine. He starts with Izni Allahi, Adkhulu Ya Allah, Adkhulu Ya Rasulullah, Adkhulu Ya Amir al-Mu'min, and all of the Imams. And then he says that, don't you want to say that salam to the Imam of your time? Do you know him? He says, yes, I know him. And says, As-salamu alayka adkhul ya imam al-asr. He says, wa alayka as-salam. Imam says, salam.
Bawajib al-salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.
Then When it comes to ziyarat, he says, shall I read, which ziyarat shall we read? He says, I am illiterate, I cannot read any ziyarat. And if I was to read, which ziyarat do I read? Imam says, ziyarat Aminullah. That is the best ziyarat, among the best ziyarat. And then, after the ziyarat, he says that Imam was with me. And we together go, it was time for prayers. And that jamaat, that congregation was set up. And I, how it happened, I don't know. I ended up in that first row of that jamaat behind that Imam. Imam himself, he led his prayers himself, rather, because he is the Imam. Everyone has to be behind the Imam. He offers his prayers himself, and we offered our prayers. And when the prayers had ended, I went to, I didn't find him anymore. That is, all these instances, incidents, they unfold, all that talk takes place, so many hours with the Imam, but he didn't realize that he was with him. That is, with him, but in an offline mode. That is the fourth stage, fifth stage that a person can communicate, can get access to him, and the last stage is that free access, that is, whosoever, whensoever, when he wants, he can get to the Imam. So these are the different ways. Now to get to him, we have to strive, we have to try. And all these tips that were mentioned, all of them will be a lesson to myself first and to you, brothers and sisters, a reminder. On this day of Ashura, we find that the head of Imam Abdullah al-Hussein is brought into the courts of Ibn Ziyad. And then that head, it looks at every member present in that majlis. Eyes of Abu Abdullah are open. But when it comes to Zainab al-Kubra, he closes his eyes. The head closes his eyes.
جرت المدامع يوم شمر شمرا عن ساغديه ومتن زينب كسرا فدعت أخاها والفؤاد تفترى أنعم جوابا يا حسين أما ترى says tears they fall. That is when Shimr he struck. Existence of Zainab, it perished, it broke when Shimr he struck. Says, أَنْعِمْ جَوَابًا يَا حُسَيْنِ أَمَا تَرَى. That, give me a response, Hussein. Were you not loyal to me? Was I not loyal to you all the time? It was me who saw you every day so many times. It was me who had this condition in my wedlock that I must see Hussein. I must join Hussein wheresoever he travels. Hussein, I've been loyal to you all the time. Now where is that loyalty, Hussein? Why I don't see you? Why don't you respond to my call? There that head of Abu Abdullah looks at every member, eyes are open. Looks at Zainab, eyes they close. Says maybe the reason was that Zainab, how can the services which you provided, they be thanked? The way you took charge of this caravan, the way you looked after the children of mine, all that is great. How can that be thanked, Zainab? Masaib that unfold of this noble household, one after the other, right all the way they reach Karbala, then to Sham, and from Sham back to Medina. And the most was seen by Zainab al-Kubra.
Allah, by Zainab al-Kubra, help us. This bond that we have to have with the Imam of our time, by the love which she had to the Imam of her time, help us. God, those tears that should be shed for Hussein ibn Ali, by Zainab al-Kubra, help us shed them. Help us associate with Aba Abdullah. Help us and our children cry for Hussein. Ilahi, بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان Allahumma ja'alna min ansarihi wa awanih. God, count us among the best of His servants. Our children be enlisted among the best of His supporters. And those who seek shahadat in His service. All those who are ill and ailing, especially those present in this majlis, grant them shifa. All those who are ill and ailing, who have hopes in this majlis, grant them shifa. All those who have passed away, Ya Allah, forgive them and elevate their ranks. Our parents, protect them. Our elders, protect them. وَعَجِّلْ فِي فَرَجِ مَوْلَانَا صَاحِبَ الزَّمَانِ
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.